Genesis chapter 12. We started this a couple weeks ago, and we read the first three verses of Genesis chapter 12, and I made it through one verse. So we're going to try to get the next two verses today, 2 and 3, which are known as the sevenfold blessing promises to Abraham. And so, let me begin reading in verse 1, and I'll read down through verse 3 again. And it starts out and it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to read your word and to look into your word and to examine it. And let your word as a mirror examine our hearts and our lives, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that you would just touch each one of us, Lord God, in a new and a fresh way today. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, first of all, I want to thank Dale for filling in for me last week as we were over in Odessa and we went up to Lake Roosevelt and had a baptism with some people in the congregation. And so it was a great day for us, and I believe it was a great day for you too, from what I've heard. And so thank you, Dale, for filling in and taking over. So this week, I want to finish this particular sermon that I started a couple weeks ago with the sevenfold blessings promised to Abraham. Now, I want to read it out of the Amplified Version, which basically gives us a little bit more detail of what the blessings were. And it starts out, and it says, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favor and make your name great." All right, "I will make your name great. You will be a blessing, dispersing goods to others, and I will bless those who bless you, I will bless those who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insolent language towards you. In you will all the families and kindreds of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves." Okay. Now, I want to break that down, the seven blessings. The seven blessings, God will make you a great nation. And I don't think God's calling each one of us to have a great nation, but how about a great family? I mean, because that's what the nation started as with Abram. It was his family. This was the beginning of it. And I believe God wants each one of us to have great families, great children, great spouses. I just believe God wants us to be impactful into our communities, into our jobs, wherever we are. God wants us to experience this great nation effect, if I can say it that way. But God wants us to be great where we are and in what we're doing. All right, then he goes on and he says, "God will bless you with abundant increase of favor." Now, a few months ago, we did a study on a particular word. Do you guys remember your word that you did? I remember mine was favor. And I looked up the scriptures on favor and what God was going to give us, what that means to have God's favor upon us. Well, here's part of the blessing that Abraham was increased abundant favor. Then he goes on and he says, "God will make your name famous and distinguished." Now, I'm not convinced, and maybe for some of us that is to be what we consider famous, which would be maybe like a sports hero or an actor or something like that. We call them famous. But do you realize that it goes on and it says distinguished? Many of your names are distinguished in the community. Many of your names are distinguished at your job. Many of your names are distinguished wherever you are and whatever you're involved in, your name is distinguished above the others because of the favor of God. Because God's favor on you, God opens doors that others can't open. God does things in your life that you can't explain. It's only because of the favor of God. So God wants us to have a distinguished, a famous, and a distinguished name. He goes on and he says, and God will make you a blessing, dispersing good to others. Dispersing good to others. God wants to bless you in such a way that you're able to give to others. Now we have, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about our last half of the year, this from January up to July. Okay, we have had numbers of people come in. We've had opportunities to bless them, to give to them. And you know what? When I hand them the check or the envelope, they're just like, ah, wow. That is a blessing. That is truly a blessing. I mean, it's more than what they expected. That's more than, I mean, because if I can remember coming to a church or going to a church, because we traveled, or I traveled when I was in college, and we would go around and sing at different churches and things like that. And we would go to any church. We didn't ask them how big their church was or anything like that. And there was a church that was maybe a quarter of the size of this sanctuary is how big their sanctuary was. And our team was 12. We filled up way more than the stage could hold. And we sang and we did our ministry. And you know what? That church blessed us financially more than many of the much bigger churches. In fact, that offering was probably one of the biggest ones we had that summer. Because they were blessed. And I feel the same way about you guys. Because when people come in here, I wanna bless them. And I wanna just be generous towards them. In fact, you know, I think the last one I was gone on, and I told the council, I said, be generous. Be generous. We need to give something, so be generous. You know, and they are. Why? Because we are blessed by God. We are blessed under the blessing of Abraham. The scripture tells us that if we give, God's going to give back to us. So I'm not afraid of outgiving God. I'm not afraid of giving more than God can give back to us. Now, I don't give to get. I just know God's going to take care of us. And so I want to be generous. I want us as a congregation to be generous to the people around us. I want God to look down and say, that church in Ritzville is generous. Those are generous people. And I believe the Gideons come by and the different missionaries that we have come by. And when we had Andrea and Kenny come by, generous, generous, generous people. That's who you are, and that's how you distinguish yourself above other people. You are distinguished because when they say, ooh, let's go there, because we've been there before, and they're generous people. Now, they don't come just to get the money. They genuinely have concerns and a vision on their heart to accomplish what they're doing, whether it's giving the Bibles out. I love hearing the Gideons tell us how many Bibles your giving has purchased over the years they've been coming here. Thousands and thousands of Bibles. You guys have been able to provide. So people can hear the gospel, see the gospel, read the gospel. Why? Because you're generous. And I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself as being generous, but you're generous. You are a generous people. And so I believe this blessing that God has called us to, because he blesses us so that we can, again, confer prosperity or blessing on other people. God wants us to do that. God wants us to give to other people and to bless them and encourage them. You don't believe that? Okay. At least nod your head one way or the other. Okay. I got to make sure at least you're hearing me. All right. So we have been blessed to be a blessing. And then he goes on and he says, and God will curse those who curse or use insolent. How many know what that means? I didn't either. It means to be boldly rude, disrespectful, or abusive. So he says, God will curse those who curse you or use insolent or boldly rude, disrespectful, abusive language towards you. So, when you have and you're proclaiming or sharing the gospel with somebody and they start getting rude or disrespectful or abusive towards you because of the gospel, you don't have to play their game. You don't have to do the same thing they're doing. This says God's going to take care of that because it says God will curse those who curse you. God's going to take care of that situation. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to just be quiet when people come into your home and start abusing you or disrespecting you. You can correct that, but you don't have to curse them. You don't have to sit there and talk bad about them or be rude or be disrespectful to them. Yes, you can correct them without being disrespectful. Okay? So, I'm not saying just roll over and never say anything. I'm saying that we need to be respectful with our words because God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of that. And you know what? I think God can do a lot better job than I can. So I want to encourage you. You might need to correct a few things once in a while, but you don't have to be disrespectful and fix the problem. Okay? Then it goes on and it says, God will bless all the families and kindred of the earth because of you. And listen to this. And by you, they will bless themselves. Listen to that. By you, they will bless themselves. How does that work? Because they blessed you. If they're blessing you, they're blessing themselves. And you know what? If somebody does that long enough, they're going to figure out, you know what? Hey, when I give money, hey, I got more money than I know what to do with. When I bless them, when I do something for them, God does something good for me. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto you. All right? So, they're going to be blessed. And they can bless themselves by blessing you. It's not about how much you're giving away or how much less you're going to have because you're giving this. It's you can bless yourself because you're giving that. Okay? So Abram had this promise. Abraham was given this promise sevenfold. We just looked at all these different seven things that God was going to do. He had to do three things. He had to get out of his country, leave his family, and go where God was showing him. He had to be obedient. God wanted him to go. Now, as I looked at this, and as you study, if you take time to study Abraham, you'll realize Abraham was not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Okay? He was not the smartest kid on the block. Abraham was just Abram. He was just Abraham. He wasn't anything unusual. It wasn't like, oh, let's get him. They're more equipped than we are to do this. God didn't look down and say, oh, let's get Abraham. He can have lots of kids. Abraham couldn't have any kids. Abraham and Sarah were barren. They couldn't have children. And so God didn't pick him for his ability. God didn't choose him for his physical attributes. God didn't choose him because he had this amazing way of doing finances to where he was so wealthy that kings were saying, sorry, you need to move along. You're too prosperous for us. You could turn on us and kill us. Abraham, remember Abraham took Lot with him? Remember in Genesis that Abraham and Lot became so wealthy that the land could not support the herds and the flocks that they had. They had to split so one could go one way and one could go the other way. And so they could not just one place was big enough for them to take care of, to take care of them. So what Abram did, remember, Abraham was not going to let anybody make him rich. It was a God thing. So he turns to Lot and says, Lot, okay, we need more room, so you're going to have to go one way and I'm going to go another way. All right, so we're going to stand up here. Lot, you choose which way you want to go. And remember, Lot looked all over the place, up into the mountains and down in the valleys, and he looked to the valley and he saw such a lush, green, watered area. It was like a garden. And Lot said, that's where I want to go. Abram, after he leaves, turns and looks up to where he gets, and it's desert. It's dry, it's dusty, it's hilly. And God takes him up there, and he says, look what I've got for you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you more than what you can see right now. I've got more in store for you, and it's not because of the green valleys. But he says, everywhere you look, you it's yours. I've got more for you than you can handle. And so God was going to make Abraham a great nation, not Abraham. How many know God wants to do something in your life? And you might be looking around right now and it might look dry. It might look like a desert. It might look like there's no hope here. I don't know how to do this. But yet God says, I've got something big in store for you. I've got something big for you. Will you trust me? You see, the reason that God picked Abraham. Let me read this over in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19 says, for I have known him, God talking about Abram, in order that he may command his children and his household after him. Now what this is talking about is that Abraham was somebody that was going to teach his children. He's going to teach him the promise of God. Teach him how to live his life. And if you go back through the book of Genesis, and Abraham had Isaac. And Isaac was a wealthy man. Isaac planted crops when there was a famine, and he reaped 100-fold. Why? Not because he was this great farmer, but because of God's blessing. Why? Because God chose Abraham because he would teach his children, teach the next generation. And you know what? That went on from Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob taught his children. And so it says, he says he will command his children and his household after him that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. God wanted to bless him. Now, I want to give you the key to this whole thing. How do we get there? Okay, we know that the blessings are there. I just read the blessing. How do we get in? How do we tap into those blessings? Okay, so we've got down in Genesis chapter 15. And Abraham knew that he and his wife were barren and they couldn't have children. And so the Lord comes to him and he says, In Genesis chapter 15, verse 4 says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir." So what Abraham was doing is he was talking with God, trying to figure out who's going to be his heir. How are we going to get this great nation? And he didn't have a son. So he says, well, let my servant Eliezer be my heir. And God says, no, we're not going to do it that way. You might have a good idea, Abraham, but this is the way we're going to do it. And he goes on and he says, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look up now towards the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants believe or be. Then the next verse, and he believed in the Lord. There's the key right there. Believe in the Lord. Or we could say it this way. Have faith in God. Do you believe what God said about you? See, Abraham believed that he would be the father of many nations. He believed that his name would be great. He believed that he would be a blessing and not a curse. He believed that when he went out, God was going to do what he said he would do. But he had to believe it. He had to believe it. There's a difference between just knowing what God said and believing it. And too many people in churches all over the world today, they have a knowledge, they know it, but they don't believe it. Well, God wouldn't do that for me. I'm not qualified. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I've never taught a Sunday school lesson. I wouldn't know how to do prayer requests or praise reports. You've had an excellent example for years. Lisa's been coming down here showing you how to do it. And so if she comes up and says, hey, can you do the prayer request today? I don't think I can do that. I don't like getting up in front of people. I can't pray in front of people. No, you can do it. God wants you to be a blessing. God wants you to be blessed so you can bless others. Same thing. How many of you sing in your car? Sing in the shower. Sing somewhere at home. Dancing up and down the hallway, in the kitchen, whatever. So don't be surprised if Mr. Dale comes up and says, hey, can you help us? We're going to be low on people this week. We need some more voices. I can't do that. Right? Isn't that what you would say? Or some of you might say, oh, you don't want to scare everybody away. Everybody's got their own little thing that they would say. But why can't we get involved to bless other people? You know, by you getting up and doing something, excuse me, you might free somebody else to say, I can do it. And I don't mean this disrespectful, but if they can do it, I can do it, right? Why not? Heads should go this way. You're all just staring at me like, ooh, Dale, they're not going to want to talk to you after church. But I want to encourage you to believe in God. It might not be because of your great talent, but your obedience. It might not be because you are this amazing Sunday school teacher. It might be because you're willing to say yes. You're willing to say yes to the request. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to come or Dale's going to come and do this or people are going to start inviting you to do stuff. But if they do, okay, Let's stay with the Sunday school theme, all right? Do you realize Dale always asked who to fill in? Brad. Brad's no longer here. Now what's Dale going to do? He's looking around the congregation saying, who can help? Now, I think what we need to do is be more willing to see ourselves the way God sees us. And God sees us blessed. God sees us a whole lot bigger than the way we see ourselves. So, how do we enter into this promise? By faith. By faith. Do you realize that you cannot be even born again without faith? You might say, well, I don't have enough faith. Well, let me ask, how much does it take? How much faith does it take to get saved? Were you fasting and praying before you got saved? Probably not. You were probably drinking and partying before you got saved. But you got saved, didn't you? Why? Because it only takes a little bit of faith. It doesn't take a lot of faith. It takes, as Jesus said, as much as a mustard seed. And that's not very much. It's not the amount of faith. It's are you willing to use your faith? Because he says faith is like a mustard seed. When it is used or planted in the ground, it works. It works. So we need to learn to use the faith that God has given us. So we can't even be born again without faith. We can't. Do you know that it's only by faith that you are a legal heir of God? Scripture says that we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Only, now let me add this to it. Only if you believe it. You might have read that scripture for years and years and years, but never entered into what it's like to be an heir with Jesus. But by faith, we can do it. By faith, we can do what God called us to do. Now, let me read this one to you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham, we were just reading about that, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's us. That's you. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we enter in to the promises and the blessings given to Abraham. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, when we were in Christ, we are blessed with every blessing in spiritual places. When we are in Christ, how do we get in Christ? We need to be born again. If you're not born again, you're not in Christ. If you're born again, you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. So, we read 7 that Abraham has. We could go on up to Deuteronomy and read more blessings in the Old Testament. We could go through the book of Psalms and find more blessings in the whole, in the book that are for us, spiritual blessings. We can go into the New Testament and find more blessings. In fact, it says that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In Christ, we have been made the righteousness of God. We have been made right with God. Not because of ourselves, but because we are in Christ. We could go on and on about who we are in Christ. And those are promises, those are blessings for each and every one of us. Now let me read this to you. 2 Corinthians. I didn't put this in the notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God are in him," in Christ, "are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." So what this is saying, if you read it in some of your other translations, it says all the promises God has given us are yes. And we have to agree with that with our yes to activate it. We have to come into agreement with the word of what God said. We have to agree with our mouth. We have to say, "I am in Christ. I am a new creation. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. I am in Christ." And we need to say that. We need to come into agreement with that. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am a new creation in Christ. I am the temple of God. And we can go on and on with the I ams of who God said we are in Christ, because that's who Christ is. Now, he says that, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a deposit." Okay, so in Christ, we have so much more than I think any of us realize. And so let me go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let me begin in verse 2. And I'm going to start here, and it starts out, and it says, "Grace and peace." How many know God wants you to have grace and peace? "Grace and peace," it says, "be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God." It's never a waste of time to read the Word of God. It's never a waste of time to study the Word of God. Because when you study the Word of God, you get into the Word of God, grace, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So, understanding this brings you grace and peace. And it goes on, verse 3. "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." How many know that all things includes all things? All the promises of God are ours. How? Through the knowledge of him. Do you realize that if you knew nothing about salvation, you would never get saved? Listen, you were not born a Christian. I have people tell me, "Well, I've always been saved." No, you haven't. The Bible teaches us that we were born with a sin nature. We were separate from God. we had to come to God and ask him to come in. We had to make a conscious decision. I was not born a Christian. I was not born this way. Neither were you. Now, it might feel that way for some of you who've been saved a long time, but you were not born a Christian, and neither was anybody else. Don't let them tell you that. How do I know that? Because I have a knowledge of the Scripture. You have a knowledge now. This is what the Word of God says. Because we can have all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by the glory, by glory and virtue. We can have that knowledge of the Word of God makes a difference in your life. I had somebody come up to me and try to tell me something was not right. And I said, yeah, but what does the Bible say? And what's the context of what you're reading? And I said, you need to stop and go back through this and read it in context. Not just take one word out of it and say that's what it means. Read the whole chapter, or maybe read the chapter before and after. Begin to understand with knowledge what God has done. And when we do that, when we begin to understand that, then we begin to see what God's going to do. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is for us, if we have a knowledge of it. If you never had that knowledge of salvation, you would have never been born again. If you didn't have a knowledge about the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you'd never be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You might have a warped idea of it, as people do about salvation too. But they never get saved and they never get baptized until they get the correct knowledge. And we need to understand this. And I don't say that to be harsh or to be negative towards anybody, but we need to have correct knowledge. Incorrect knowledge causes incorrect faith. Incorrect knowledge never expects much from God. We need to understand the Word of God so we can take it and believe it. You would never know you could be set free from whatever that habit is until you get the knowledge of freedom. Isn't that what it says? You shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. How do you get that? You got to have the truth. You got to know the truth. Correct knowledge sets you free. Incorrect knowledge, incorrect knowledge goes around Jesus. Takes Jesus out of the picture. That's called, John calls it Antichrist in 1 John. Says that's Antichrist. Because what you're doing, you're taking Christ out. When we have Christ in there, when we have Jesus in there, and we go through Jesus, we can be set free in Jesus' name. So, I want to encourage you. Walk in the blessing of the Lord by getting into the Word. Finding out what that blessing is, finding how that applies to you, and finding out, how do I live this out? How do I get set free from this habit or whatever it might be that's been haunting you for years? God can set you free with correct knowledge. Amen?